Well, good morning, everyone. So some of you know, a few weeks ago, my grandma got really sick. And it's not that she wasn't sick already. She'd been sick for a while. She has a really bad heart. But my dad had called her on Sunday and then again on Wednesday, and he said he really noticed a difference in those 3 days. He said her health has just been declining, and doctors aren't even sure she's going to make it through the week. And so My parents had seen my grandma recently. My brother and sister had seen my grandma recently. She's all the way back in Holland, so I hadn't seen her in 8 years. And when I heard that, I thought, I have to go see my grandma. I have to. I have to go see her one last time and say goodbye to her and make sure that, you know, this goes well. I didn't when my grandpa passed away, and I regretted it, and I wanted to make sure that I went back to see my grandma one last time. And so I did. Graciously, Renee said, you have to go as well. So I went, we booked the flight, and just by myself, went to visit my grandma. Now, I hadn't been there in 8 years. My Dutch is at the level of a 12-year-old, so it's kind of, you know, not as great as it could be. And so conversing with my grandma, having a conversation with her was, well, normal conversation was easy, but anything that came to theology, anything that came to God or the Bible, that was actually really difficult. Because I moved here when I was 12, moved to Canada when I was 12, and hadn't really learned Dutch Bible language, or Christianese as I call it, and I was lacking those words. Whenever my grandma, who is a firm believer, asked me about a question about work or the Bible or about God or how my relationship with him was, I was struggling to find words. And that really hit me hard when my grandma, she's 89, and she knows that her time is up soon. Actually, she says multiple times, I just want to go home. I'm tired. I'm done. Like, Lord, take me and take me peacefully, she says. And when it really hit me hard that I didn't have that Dutch Christianese language was when she told me, I'm doubting my salvation. And I go, Grandma, like, you've been going to church your entire life. You're a strong believer. You've, like, your husband was an elder. Like, you've done so much for the church, and you've lived out your entire life so strongly. And she goes, I'm doubting my salvation. And I'm sitting there right across from her, and I did not know the words to say to her. In English, I had all the right words. In English, I knew exactly what I would have said at that moment, but she wouldn't have understood it. And I couldn't translate those words into Dutch for her to understand. And it broke me at that moment, sitting there with my grandma, wanting to tell her about how good God is and how it's not about works and how it's all about grace and God has forgiven her. And I'm like, I can't find the words. I couldn't find the words that she would understand. Words matter. As we're going to talk about today, words matter. Words are such a powerful tool. And I think it's part of our calling as believers to speak positive words, to encourage other people and to build them up and to let God use us to speak words and speak into the lives of other people. And we're also going to talk about how dangerous it can be when we speak carelessly, when we speak without thinking, and even within intent to harm. Words matter. Words are important. So let's jump right in. Let's jump right into our series, going further in our Grit series, James 3, verses 1 to 12. James says this, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Uh-oh. "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes both praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I love these analogies. I love these analogies that James gives us to help us understand what he's talking about. He emphasizes the importance of watching what we say, watching our words. And it's not the first time that he's talked about this, right? How important it is. In James 1:26, he says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." Worthless. That is strong language. Right? James tells us that faith without works is dead and useless, and apparently our speech is a part of that. And we're gonna talk about this today. We've talked about this before, and you'll probably hear someone talk about this again at some point because this is so important, yet for some reason we treat it fairly lightly. For some reason, we kind of feel like it's optional sometimes. Like it doesn't really matter, but that's not how James treats it here, and that's not how Jesus treats it, that's not how Paul treats it, that's not how God treats this. Right? If we consider ourselves an intentional follower of Jesus, we have to watch what we say. We have to think before we speak, and then choose to speak words that bring glory to God. And that's what we're called to do, but I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. So let's backtrack and go back, and let's go through James 3 and kind of work through what he says. He says, we all stumble in many ways. But according to James, we all stumble in what we say. And I know that's true for me, right? So often I say the wrong things. I say things that I regret just a moment later. Some things that hurt others, things that bring them down, or even things that I shouldn't have, right? And a more innocent example of that, I think, happened to me just a few weeks ago when I was in Holland staying with some friends of mine. I was about to go to bed, and they said, "Oh, what are you going to do tomorrow?" And I said, "I'm going to sleep in." And I literally translated that to Dutch. Well, the problem is that in Dutch, the expression for sleeping in is the expression that you would use when you take an animal to the vet to, like, put them down permanently. Yeah, so the look on their face was shock at first. They're like, wait, no, that's not what he meant. Clearly, that's not what he meant. So from the context, they understood. But more often than not, my words actually get me into trouble. I know words matter. And saying the right thing as well as saying as not saying the wrong thing is important. But I can't always seem to help it. And James uses three different types of analogies. He has six different analogies. I kind of grouped them up into three types of why words matter. So let's start with the first two. He says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. So words matter. Why? Well, because just like the bit of a horse or the rudder of a ship, words have the power to direct. Words have the power to direct. I think it's the reason that James tells us that teachers will be judged according to a higher standard, right? Why he warns people that not everyone should become a teacher, because with our words, we direct and we influence other people, right? Think about it here at Summit. We come here every week and we sit and we listen to someone speak for 30 minutes, in some cases 40 minutes, and in some cases when a certain preacher's preaching 50 minutes, and we speak and we sit here. See, I just did it. I just did use my words for harm. Anyways, 30 minutes where we're sitting here and we're trusting the person that's standing here to have done their homework, to have done all the preparation, and to be walking in a relationship with God, and from that to share what they believe God wants them to share. That's a lot to trust someone with, isn't it? It's also a lot to be trusted with, because words direct. Words influence, right? The tongue is like a rudder. It shows us, I think that analogy shows us that the church looks to the pastor for direction, even though the pastor is just one of the many people in that church, in that community, right? I think that it shows that the things that they share and the things that they say have a lot of influence over people. And I love this analogy because we see it not just in pastoring, but we see it in sports where a coach or a captain leads a whole team through their words and through their actions. We see it in a boss or an employer who directs their employee. We see it in classrooms where teachers guide their students to a place where they know the subject better. We see it in the home where parents are in charge over their kids and direct them and guide them and lead their kids into a life of faith. How many times has it happened when you as a parent have said something and then you hear your little kid say it later and you go, oops? I think those are all huge responsibilities. And they all show how we direct and how we guide people through our lifestyle and especially through our words. Words have the power to direct, which means that we have to use them so carefully. One of the scariest things about being a youth pastor is thinking that I might say something that leads someone astray. That frightens me. Like, what if something I said at youth the other week was responsible for that? Our words are such a powerful tool. And unfortunately, a lot of people use their words or their tongues, as James would say, for negative things. And through the next two analogies, he shows that words have the power to tear down, the power to destroy. He says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. I think forest fires is a good analogy because we're familiar with that here in Canada, right? As of late, especially. Last year was that immense blaze of Fort McMurray, and this year hundreds of thousands of hectares have been burned in BC and are still burning. I think at one point I saw that there was over 180 wildfires at once in BC this year. A small spark can start this terrifying fire that just rips through the land and burns down anything in its wake, and it's frightening to think about. Right? It's such a powerful analogy that James chooses to use here for how destructive our words can be, how destructive our tongue can be. And I think we all know this to be true in our own lives. Right? We might say that words will never hurt us, but they can, and they hurt deeply. And I think the good part is that we're starting to recognize that in our society. We're starting to recognize that words can leave someone just as scarred as physical violence, only in a different way. When I went to school, especially elementary school, the bully was someone that was physically tormenting people. Right? Verbal and emotional bullying wasn't really recognized, but we're starting to see the effect that it has on people. We're starting to see the devastating effects of verbal abuse, especially in our kids. And it breaks me. It absolutely hurts my heart that it's not unheard of a youth or an adolescent to take their life as a result of what other people have said. right? How disturbing is it that someone becomes so emotionally and mentally burned by other people that they feel that the only way or the best way out is to take their own life? I think it's disastrous. I wish I could have had just 10 minutes with those people, just 10 minutes to tell them that they matter, that they are valued, that I care about them, and that I want to be there for them and with them. Just 10 minutes to show them that I look forward to seeing them again, to give them hope and the compassion and the love that everyone needs. Just 10 minutes. But we also know that it's not just that easy to reverse all those effects, all that tormenting that people sustain through other people's words, through other people's tongues. I actually like the way that Proverbs says it here, because it shows how severe this is, how intense this can be. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. And Jesus wasn't silent on this issue either. In Matthew 15:11, he says, "What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." And I think that's so, so powerful. Our words can defile us. They can make us unclean. We can definitely sin through what we say, through our words. Right? With our words, we have the power to influence someone in such a way that they may just make that terrible mistake of taking their own life. And I know this is heavy, and I know this hits close to home for some of us, but do we understand the immeasurable detriment that our words can have on people? And now you might say, "Erwin, I would never go to that extent." And I'm glad that you would say that. I'm glad that you wouldn't. I really am. But here's what you don't know. Right? There's a good chance that you don't know what these people have been struggling with. There's a good chance that you don't know the history of every person you meet. You don't know what they have experienced, what others have said to them, what they grew up with, what happened to them at school or at home or with their peers or even at work. Right? We don't know the burdens and the weights of other people. And so even the comments or the lines that we think might be just poking fun at someone or goofing off with other people can fuel that fire that already exists in their life. Right? Someone else might have started that spark. Other people might have grown the fire, but we don't know what's going to send someone over the edge. And that means that for you, all these junior high students in here, we have to be careful with what we say to people and about people at our schools. Right? Don't just join in to making fun of someone because your friends are doing it. Right? Don't gossip about people, talking about them when they're not there, especially in negative ways. Because we don't know what they are struggling with. We don't know what's true in all these rumors and what's not. And that means that for you, senior high students, you know that we shouldn't be sharing and spreading rumors or slander about other people, but it's just so easy to join in sometimes. Right? Fight it. Resist it. Put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel if somebody was saying those things about you? And if you say, "Oh, I don't care," well, then come talk to me. Right? It means that as senior high students, that when we see younger students or younger youth or kids, especially here at Summit, who are using their words negatively and to hurt other people, that we have the responsibility and the power to put a stop to it. Right? Summit is a community, a family, a place where people feel at home. And we want them to feel that way. We want them to feel safe here, and it takes a community to make that happen. And we all need to pitch in for that. That means that for us as adults, we need to set the right example for people as well. We have that responsibility. Right? There's a good chance that you have been the victim of somebody else's harmful words at some point. And there's a good chance that you've been the person to do that to someone as well. But let's learn from our mistakes. Right? Let's stop with that negative chit-chat. Let's stop with the slander and the gossip and tearing others down. Let's stop with the comments and the jabs at people. It might seem fun and funny, but it could really hurt more than we might realize. Now, I'm also aware that some of you might think that, okay, Erwin, you're kind of building this up and exaggerating, but I'm really not. Words have the power to tear worlds apart. Literally. Like, look at Genesis 3, where Satan convinced Eve through his words to disobey God. And from that point on, everything changed. A few years ago, we heard of this girl named Amanda who was cyberbullied into taking her own life. And we have this maybe fictional TV show, though sadly is a much more accurate representation of society today than I want to admit, right? The TV show 13 Reasons Why, which, disclaimer, I do not recommend you watch for several reasons. But in it, a girl is bullied to the point where she decides that her life is not worth living anymore. But even if those last two examples had chosen to live, their life would never have been the same. We see it all the time where people start to believe that they are just, that they don't matter. Right, that they are worthless, that all they are good for is a few specific things, and for the rest, no one really wants them. People don't just develop those false ideas overnight. Right? It's from multiple interactions with other people where they have been put down, where they've been treated poorly, where they've been told something that isn't true until they believed it to be true. Words are so, so powerful. And when we use them negatively, we can have a much more gruesome impact on people than we might intend. And be careful with the words that you use. Better yet, stay away from gossip. Stay away from making fun of people. Stay away from words that hurt others. Right? I think this community and this world in general would be so much better off without that. James then moves into a really powerful reminder for us. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come both praise and cursing. And let's think about that for a second. This morning, we sung and we worshiped God together. Now, not a whole lot of time has passed since then, and I hope you haven't really cursed people since we sang worship like 20 minutes ago. But think about this through the course of the day. Okay, we sat here, we're here worshiping and praising God, and with that same tongue, with those same words, we call other people names, or we gossip, or we slander, or we lie, or we say things that hurt and harm other people with their reputation. And James says, how can we do that? How hypocritical can we be? How hypocritical can I be? I'm preaching this, and just like 5 minutes ago, in my sermon, I said something that hurt someone else. We want to, and we say that we follow God intentionally, but then how can we turn around and do something that goes totally against what God stands for? Peter also talks about it in a pretty powerful way. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. He says must. And I think that speaks for itself when we really focus on that word. So if we're sitting here today and you're as convicted as I am about this, I want you to just take a few minutes right now and confess that to God. Confess the times that you've spoken harm, that you've tore down other people, that you've used your words, whether intentionally or not, to hurt people or to harm them. I'm going to keep talking, but I'm going to do something that not very many preachers have ever done. I'm going to give you permission to just tune me out for a few minutes and to do that. Okay? Ask God, share with Him the times that you've done that. Ask for forgiveness. Right? Confess that to Him. That's so important. Just take a few minutes and do that right now while I keep talking. Words are so powerful. And instead, with the power of our words and all that we can use them for, I think James poses a much better and a much friendlier use for them. Right? He gives us a picture of a spring. He gives us the picture of water and a tree. He says, "Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." He shows that words have the power to build people up. Right? We know that a spring cannot produce both fresh water and salt water, and that a tree can't produce both grapes and figs. Now that I think about it, actually, that last one I've seen, trees grow two things, but you get the point. We are made in the image of God. God made us to worship Him. God made us for His glory. We were made for good. Yet often we use our words for bad. Right? We were made to produce fresh water, so how can we produce salt water? How can we use our language for bad things when we were made for good? And I love that analogy of water because it is so rich in the Bible. It has such beautiful imagery, and I just want to take a look and look at two of them very briefly, right? We use water for baptism, where we symbolically die with Christ and are raised to life, and through that water, we see that beautiful image of that dedication and that relationship and that commitment to Jesus. And I think, secondly, the Bible describes Jesus as the living water. In John 4, Jesus basically tells a lady that if you drink regular water, you're going to be thirsty again. But if you drink the living water, you will never thirst again. A relationship with God is the only thing that can truly satisfy us. God is the only one that can ever fully satisfy. He is like water. We need Him to truly live. We need Him to truly be satisfied. But have you ever had salt water? Like swimming in the ocean and you accidentally drink some water, it's disgusting, right? It makes you even more thirsty. Only fresh water is refreshing. Only God's water is the one that can truly satisfy. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." So what can we do to use our words positively? What can we do to build up with our words instead of tear down? What can we do to have life-giving words, right? Water, fresh water words rather than salt water words. I think one of the biggest things that we can do is we can encourage people, right? Giving someone a kind word, telling them how much you appreciate them, telling them the impact they're making on people through what they're doing, pointing out that they're doing something well, all those sorts of things, right? It's important to look for the positive things and then to encourage people in that. That's a part of what it means to be the church, to be the body of Christ, encouraging and building each other up. So important. I think it's also in sharing positives with people. And I think that looks different for everyone. What is it that makes you excited? What is it that pumps you up? What are the kind of things that have been happening to you or other people around you? Right? Gossip usually focuses on negative things. So let's change that. Let's turn that into positives. Let's share good stories with each other. There are so many positive things that we can use our words for, so let's use those instead. I think, most importantly, we can share our faith with others. What better thing can we share with someone than the gospel? What better thing can we tell someone than the most life-giving and loving and caring thing of all? Right? God wants to know us. He wants to know other people. God wants to give people life. God wants to give people a life and give it to the full, he says. Sharing that with someone is much better than just sharing regular water with them, because that regular water will only satisfy for a time, but Jesus will satisfy us permanently. And it's with our words that we can share such a meaningful and important message. We can choose to, with our words, tear others apart. But we can also build others up. And more importantly, we can share with them a life that is fulfilling, a life that is valued, a life of love and fullness that we can only find in Jesus Christ, right? The tongue is just a small part of our body, but it can make such great boasts. What will we boast about? What words will you share? Right? I want to urge you, I want to challenge you to share the positives with people. So how do we change that? Right? James says the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, and it sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. God calls us to keep our tongues from speaking evil, from saying evil things to as well as about other people. But he doesn't just tell us to do that and then leave us out to dry. Right? James is pretty clear through this analogy that we can't tame our own tongue. Right? No human being can tame the tongue. And he leaves that and he says, but God can. God can help us in this, but we have to let him do that. We have to let him both come into our lives and take the reins. We have to let God have the control. And we might say that we have given our lives to Jesus, that we are intentionally following him, but we have already shown that Jesus, that following Jesus matters in our actions and in our speech. Right, Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So let me give you a little challenge today. Okay, I want you to go for the rest of the day without saying anything negative. Okay, and instead, I want you to look for ways that can build people up. Share the positives with them. Share something that gives them hope and lifts their spirits. Tell someone that you care about them, that you value them, that you love them. Right? When we learn to do that regularly, we will be the people that God has called us to be. We will be the body of Christ, a light to the world. We will be fulfilling our purpose and our calling, and we will be living out that purpose. So will you join with me in living out our purpose today? Let's pray. God, it is with words that you created. It is with words that you put the stars in place. It is with words that you brought life to this earth, and with words that you will one day renew everything and restore everything. God, you will know that words are powerful. And Father, we have been guilty, myself included, of using words to tear other people down, and we are sorry, and we seek your forgiveness. And God, we want to go out of here today feeling refreshed and feeling forgiven. So God, would you just wash forgiveness over us? God, would you help us? Would you tame our tongues for us so that from today and moving forward, we can build people up and give them life through the words that you will share with us? God, prevent us from tearing others down. God, convict us when we do so, and help us to be transformed, and help us to repent from doing this wrong. Lord, we love you and we want to follow you intentionally, and that includes through our speech. So Lord, we trust that you will help us do so from this day forward. In your name we pray. Amen.